looked, you hadn't got signatures when, in fact, you were there. When you do get the minutes back, you know, in future, check the register immediately so you have a clear understanding. Now, on that note, where we are at the moment will be the NRCS. And I'll just get the... No, it's not there. The agenda. Was here when I went to tea. Thank you. The status from report from the National Regulator for Compulsory Services, the LOAs, and the ICT Modernization Project. You will recall this has been on the table now for some time, and of course we do want to know where we are now, what progress has been made, etc. So at this point in time, we are going to hand over to the NRCS and ask, let's see who we've got from here, Mr. Madimise, Chief Executive Officer. We've got Mr. Kanyili, we hope, the General Manager. Ms. Katz, the... the one is General Manager Electrotechnical, Mr. Kanyili. Where is he? Right. Ms. Katz, General Manager Foods. Right. Mr. Matemba, Manager Strategy and Risk. Right. Mr. A. Sakula, Acting Chief Information Officer. Acting. And Dr. Damana, Chief Director, Industrial Development Division. And of course, we've already recognized the Director General there. Did we recognize you, Miss Richards?
Okay.
Chief Director, acting, yes. And then Mr. Strachan, Deputy Director General, DDG, IDD, etc. is not attending. We have an apology. Right. And I think in that case, we've recognized all of those involved with the NRCS, and we're going to hand over to the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer. Let's be succinct. Key issues here. Let's move. And members, can we ask any questions, clarifications? Will you note them and then raise them when this presentation is finished?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, DG. I think I will quickly move to slide 8 to just update the committee on the work that we have been doing to address the issue of backlog of LOAs. As at the end of March, I have approved a risk-based policy of the NRCS to assist us in focusing our efforts and target the medium, low, and high-risk applications and process them accordingly. We have workshopped the policy with our staff in April, and we have given the core business units a mandate to develop implementation plan by the end of June. The impact of the risk-based approach or policy on approvals is that in the case of low-risk applications, we are able to process those applications much quicker, and it also increases the output of our inspectors in terms of the targets that they have to reach. So, for instance, the normal target for inspectors is 6 applications per day, but with the implementation of the risk-based policy, we have seen that we are able to increase that target to about 12 applications a day. And we have also taken a further step in the implementation of the risk-based policy, by identifying applications that have a certificate from conformity assessment scheme, what is commonly referred to as CB scheme. Those kind of applications, when they are accompanied by the certificate, we already know that we have an assurance that those applications have been tested according to our standards. So we categorize those applications as a low-risk applications, and we are able to process them quicker. And as at the end of May, we have identified 600 applications which have a CB certificate accompanying those applications. So we have categorized those applications as low risk, as I've indicated. And in addition to that, our surveillance inspectors are assisting us with processing of those applications in addition to the capacity that we have in approvals. The other interventions that we have identified when we address the issue of backlog of LOAs is that whenever we process this application, we pick up bottlenecks being created elsewhere where we initially did not anticipate. Like in terms of the capturing, we have noticed that the more we process this application, there is a backlog created at the stage of capturing. So we have added two more administrators to assist with processing of this application and capturing thereof. We have also identified other offices, regional offices, where there is administrative capacity to assist with capturing of these applications. And we have also identified that one of the bottlenecks is that currently we have one manager who oversees these applications. Once the inspectors have processed and made the recommendations, the manager has to approve. There is also a bottleneck there because we only have one manager. What we have done and decided to do is to increase the capacity there by reorganizing the entire approvals unit. So we will be having two managers assisting with these approvals. The candidate inspectors, we have, as indicated previously, that we have employed additional six candidate inspectors. Those six candidate inspectors have been put through an accelerated training. And so far we can report that they have been trained in additional scope of the compulsory specification VC9006, which is for geysers and energy efficiency. And we are glad to report, Chair, that we have seen a significant improvement in terms of our turnaround time compared to where we were in 2016-17 financial year. If you recall, in 2016-17 financial year, we had only 37% of applications processed within the 120 days, which is the set turnaround time. Now in 2017 and 2018, we have doubled that number. We have processed 75% of applications within 120 days. And by the end of, by the 5th of June, we have done a stock taking, and we can report that there are no applications that are above 120 days. So there is no backlog, although we have significant number of applications that are at hand. We have interventions to deal with that. On the ICT modernization project, Chair, as you will recall, the purpose of the modernization project is to address operational inefficiency within the NRCS and also resolve the issue of the revenue qualification that we have been battling with for a number of years. We also want to automate our operational processes of including the issuance of the LOAs and our financial and human resource capacity. In terms of the progress of the ICT modernization, Chair, I'm the first to admit that we are not moving at a pace on which we expected to be moving. There has been a couple of delays in the implementation of this ICT modernization, and including, but not limited, of course, to capacity challenges within our ICT department. We have undertaken a long process of recruitment of a CIO. We have went through the interview process, and unfortunately, at the end of the process, there was no candidate that was suitable for appointment for such an important role. So we are left with at a stage where now we are doing headhunting to find a suitable candidate to assist us with the implementation of this project. In terms of the progress, I think the first phase of the modernization project is almost complete. We have completed the specifications for the appointment of a service provider who would be assisting us with the implementation of the ICT modernization project. I understand that the BEC, that is the BID Evaluation Committee, was sitting yesterday and they have finalized their evaluation report, which will then be presented to the BAC within still within this June. We're hoping to finalize the appointment of the company by the end of the of June, so that we can be on track in terms of implementing the modernization project. I think I've already touched on the challenges. Thank you, Chair. That's the end of my presentation.
Thank you. Do you want anyone to assist in adding to the presentation in any way?
Not yet, Chair. They will assist in terms
with
of
the
responding.
Responses.
Yes.
Right. All right, members, let's see by show of hands the engagement of members. Right, Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Mantash, Honourable Easterhazen, in that order, Honourable Guyani, Honourable McLaughlin. Do you go ahead, Honourable MacPherson?
Just give me a second, I just want to just pull up something. Thank you very much. And thank you for Mr. Mandisa for coming down probably at short notice for this meeting. Mr. Mamadisa and the DG will be well aware of why the committee takes such a keen interest in the NRCS and this particular issue, because we all are aware of how government regulation is supposed to clearly look after consumers and protect consumers from harm. But government regulation is also supposed to foster trade, business opportunities, and not be a hindrance to businesses from growing their business or growing their market share in the economy. And it's against that background, Chair, that we know that letters of authority play a very critical role on both scores, to protect the consumer, but should also not be a hindrance to businesses doing business in the country, specifically with my focus being on the electrotechnical side, for the importation of electrical goods which we use every single day of our life. Now, what we've seen over the last couple of years is a degeneration of the way in which letters of authority are processed and addressed in the NRCS. And that speaks to, Mr. Mamadisa, the historical backlog in which you have to deal with, which sits at about 5,200 according to your own statistics, which is an incredible number of LOAs on any day to try and deal with, let alone to try and clear as a backlog. Now, I specifically, I get a lot of emails and telephone calls from businesses that continue to be frustrated by the NRCS. Sometimes it's of their own doing, sometimes it's of your own doing. But what I feel problematic, or what I take exception to, is some of the responses that I get back from the NRCS in when I'm trying to assist or trying to facilitate outstanding challenges to be dealt with, particularly from your staff, which in a very subtle but very pronounced way are now starting to accuse MPs of treating businesses favorably or being lobbyists for businesses. And I quite frankly think that's unacceptable for civil servants to take that approach. Our intervention as MPs or as members of this committee chair only come as a very last resort when businesses have tried to try and find a resolution with the NRCS. And it seems that there are some stumbling blocks that continue to exist within the NRCS, and I'm not sure whether you're aware of them. Like with the non-protocol that exists around declaration forms. Now, declaration forms, and I have examples, and you'd be good to look into it, about how a declaration form can be used for one consignment accepted by the NRCS, but the same declaration form for another consignment rejected. And that's because, DG, no protocols exist around this declaration form. And so they can vary, and the same declaration form can be rejected from shipment to shipment. And that causes delays. So I think that on that particular issue, we really need to see a protocol developed by NRCS to try and mitigate delays. When it comes to an inclusion and exclusion list around battery or power operated devices, I mean, there seems to be a need to have an LOA for a device like a Bluetooth speaker, which has no mains connection. That would seem illogical to require something that doesn't have a plug point in itself, where in fact it generates power through a USB a device. I mean, I would hesitate to guess that if you had something, sensical like that, that would probably cut down on your need to adjudicate on LOAs, because they are just don't fall within the realms of electrotechnical inspection. So I would really ask that you would consider to look at something like that. But when it comes to the implementation of the ICT program, and I still never got a clear answer, DG, this was supposed to be implemented and rolled out in December of 2017, bearing in mind that we had been working on this for 2 years leading up to that day. And I still feel like we are no further, Chair, in understanding, what is an actual go-live date for this process, which would clearly modernize and assist you in dealing with how LOAs are adjudicated.
Yeah, Honourable Mac,
because at the end of the day,
but I'm just wanting to point out to you, I'll give you the extra time, and to everyone, I have no way of alerting you.
Sure.
There is only a cut-off button here. So I think, if I just do something, you'll know it's 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But do complete, yes.
And until such time as that happens, Mr. Mamadisa, and as you would be aware, there's no ability to link the J.D. Edwards system and the system that generates statements on actual fees or on levies. And so people are being told, DG, that they are in arrears, when in fact they aren't, because the two systems can't speak to each other currently. So I think it's important that we get to the bottom of when we are actually going to have an actual go-live date. I think that 2020 is too far away, considering that this was supposed to be in 2017. I really do, I just don't get the feeling that there is a plan to catch up the backlog and to try and make your life easier, because if your life is easier, my life is easier, because I then can stop having to be that intermediary between business and yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Honourable MacPherson. Right. Honourable Mantosh.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, we welcome the presentation and we applaud the entity for the improvement of up to 75% within the prescribed time. But my question, Chairperson, goes to the ICT. We've been talking about it for quite some time now, but still there are stories. Can we be clarified? At which point do you think you will be able to use the ICT in your entity? Because it would make the lives of everyone easy. You've been telling us the stories every time you come here. Can we really get now an exact answer? Thank you.
Honourable Esther Hazen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My concern is, why does the SABS mark-bearing product still require to have letters from the NCRS, letters of authority, and why are these products also subject to a compulsory levy in addition to the SABS permit fees? This places increased financial burdens on companies.
Have you finished? There we are.
Thank
it's
you.
Off. All right. Honourable McLaubel.
No, thanks, Chair. Let's welcome the report by the CEO and the team. Just to indicate that you have a last slide there at the back, which is slide number 17. And the reasons for the delays, they look to be very profound, but I thought that probably you might want to put a matrix to say, what do you do about these challenges? Whether do you have the sufficient resources and capacity to address them? Because if you say there's an inadequate IT resources, there's a problem about skills. And we are not elucidating to say, what is the problem around these skills? Is it the question of the remuneration? Is that there is an absence of the skill set in terms of your attraction and retention? What are we dealing with? Because over the last few years, there's been a lot of production of young, capable IT experts, very capable ones. That's one issue that is coming in them. But also, you'll also understand that there is an issue of trying to migrate into digitization, and the project has been very difficult. Who's the project manager? Is the project manager given all the necessary resources? If there's a company that is outsourced, how credible is this company? Why is it taking us so long? Unfortunately, I don't have all the details, but unfortunately, I'm exposed to IT capability of the country. A little bit worrying because you want to move so that at least the speed and improve efficiencies. But at the center here, the IT capability is the biggest issue. Do we have the right service provider? What is the service level agreement? Why are they not on time? Are we effecting penalties or not? Then there's an issue of the security of the system that you are trying to put in there. Who's driving the command and control? Is it in our hands as a country? Or is it in somebody's hands? Because it's an important one. It's not that it only does the work in terms of what you do, but there is a security component in terms of our sovereignty as a state. I think this chair is the biggest issue. I was just whispering to the chair that, hey, sometimes you see things in the world. There were very funny people who wanted to put a system. They used the word phase approach. They were putting a lot of money. I will never tell because my colleagues yesterday, they were very tricky. And then ultimately, a system is a system. It must be fully installed. But then in terms of the license applications, you can start to use certain programs. Mind you, sometimes if you, someone puts this thing in and says it's a phase approach, certain elements are missing, you can't use it. It's not applicable. I thought I should raise as a first issue. Well, I don't want to talk about your issues around your business continuity of the current system. I don't want to talk about your disaster recovery and so forth. I don't want to talk about that one because at least. And then you could see that even if the efficiency have improved, two data capturers that you are talking about, is that the optimum? What is the idea? And how do we deal with the variance to move from the two to the ideal? At least you could see there is some movement in terms of that. Then the second point, who's handling your business process engineering? Because it has everything to do with the business process re-engineering and the plan thereof in terms of dealing with that one. But the things we have raised in the last point, the appointment of a CIO, probably is it an attraction issue for these people are not there, whether your salaries are not what, who's going to help you? Why sit in the meantime, they don't loan you a player? So that, remember, CETA must keep everything for us. Why can't they do those? But generally, I'm happy that there is a movement. You could see the volume has increased. Then there is a performance. We are on the right track. But until you deal with these fundamental issues, CEO, in a very deliberate way, and we are given the necessary resources and support, you will not be able to move. And if you don't do that in terms of the organizational fitness, then the issues about we are able to discharge your mandate and be able to deal with all these dynamics in your space, then you'll be actually be more hampered. But there's no progress. But what are we dealing with? Why are you here? Is the problem money so that we can fight that you get too much money? And how much money do you need? Or do you have a problem about people who are not performing, who are currently in the system? You can't have the same person must resolve the same problem. The problem remains and the person remains. That's not completely the best way. You either have the problem remaining but the person who can't resolve the problem going, or the person who must remove the problem removes the problem and the person remains. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mahlobo. Honourable Buyani.
Chairperson, thanks. I'm a bit of it, having a challenge here. I don't know, maybe I'm puzzled, Chair. I'm protected, Chair.
Very
So I'm puzzled, Chair, by the presentation, because I think 3 months ago the department came here and presented similar report. I'm not so sure, because what I was maybe expecting from the department is the way forward on the challenges that they raised earlier on. And now they're coming here, they raise same challenges that they raised when they here 3 months ago on the 9th of March. Chairperson, this issue of staff is coming today as well. And also the issue of the RPA, they wanted to transform because the manual, they are cheating processes there. We need to get exactly how far are they in terms of the transformation. And also the library test laboratory. And be given a report in terms of the SAPS investigation as to how far are they. The issue of ICT is always coming like this, and the very same slide, inadequate IT resources, does not have a skill development program. I requested last time to have a plan. Do you have a skill development plan as an entity? So that if you have challenges in terms of personnel, you can be able to tap in on the skill development program. And also today they're coming and they're speaking the very same language in terms of timelines are not met since then. I'm not so sure, Chair, whether are we still having to get same report next meeting, because the very same page 17 that Honorable Mantlobe is talking about is the same presentation that we had. The reason for delays of all this implementation. Mm-hmm. Inadequate resource, timeline, appointment of CIO. The very same thing 3 months ago. And I'm not so sure, Chair, whether are we here just to present and go and come back here to present and go. And I think the department must know which, from Pretoria up to here, there are resources involved and taxpayers, money involved. They cannot come here and present same thing. There's no changes in the department. I think also the entity must start to take us very much serious as parliamentarians. Thank you.
Honourable Biani, you know, a number of these issues have been addressed on the reasons for the delays, etc. They've all been addressed by various members of the committee. They have one thing in common, though. We seem to have heard this for 4 years or so. When the previous CEO was there, he came to us saying there was a problem with staff capacity and they were trying to recruit. And the challenge remains when one takes over, one picks up both, you know, the assets and the liabilities, regrettably. And hopefully one is fully au fait with some of the challenges at that point. And my concern is that we started off eight years ago, with the LOA issue and backlog, and we were told then that what would be done is a risk-based approach. Well, first of all, the computer system, the ICT. And then that, together with the risk-based approach, would be implemented. And that could address both the backlog issue plus also address some of the shortages in capacity, not necessarily the highly strategically skilled staff like a CIO. So my concern is, and maybe the DG may also come in here, did we not allocate sufficient funds for the ICT system? What is the problem here? Because we can't hear the same story repeatedly about the glitches and the, you know, that kind of thing. I do appreciate that the ICT, the modernization project, as it's now being called, at one stage it was called the upgrade and the transformation, but changing a word, one word in a title, doesn't mean change. And I think what we're concerned about is we've got to try and get to grips with this problem. And I don't think we know what it is any longer. So we need some light. I thought perhaps you had been doing your contribution already, Honourable MacPherson.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, very short now.
I just want to add one thing, because, you know, it's how the NRCS responds in these times of frustration that I think really counts. And I want to highlight to you, Mr. Mamadisa, the response that your clients get when they're trying to understand. And this is a note from one of your people there. It says, with regards to pending LOA applications, please note that I respond to emails on the first-come, first-served basis. If you keep on sending follow-up emails or reminders to me before receiving a response from me, please note that you are actually delaying yourself from getting a response from me. Your latest follow-up email or reminder and all previous emails will all move or be attached to the last date of your email sent to me, and I will only address it when I respond to emails received on that date, in brackets, last date of your email. For me, that's unacceptable, you know, language to be speaking to customers who are clearly trying to get information out of frustration, and that's at the bottom of her email to every person she sends from the NRCS.
I missed the point of who had sent this, Honourable MacPherson.
These are NRCS employees. So it's a footnote on every email that goes out as a warning that if you keep trying to follow up with me, I'm going to take all of your emails and put them at the bottom of the list, and that's when I'll deal with it.
Well, I don't have a copy of that, and we would certainly ask the department to let us have a copy of that, because we are getting towards virtual reality issues and digital and the fourth, but not completely yet, and I don't have that. Honourable McLaubel?
Maybe Comrade Chair, with your permission, probably the CEO, when he responds, can you probably share with us to say, do you have service delivery standards? For any application in government, normally there is a service standard. What does it say? And if you don't have one, why don't you have, and when can you develop one? And then if you do, what is the standard in terms of really someone, if all the requirements are made, the decision gets made? Probably that's why I was asking the issue around the BPR, the business process re-engineering. What will it take in terms of capacity so that you can be in a position to meet a particular standard while all the risk considerations are taken into account? Because we can't have a situation where someone posts something or makes an application is not sure. It's just about accountability system and governance. I thought maybe with your indulgence, let me just come back to that so that we can have a sense.
Thank you, Honourable McLaubel. I think this is one of the crux issues. Yes, Honourable Khadebi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue raised by Honourable McPherson is very serious, because it goes to the trust of our public service. Remember that our public service ethos are based on Batupili. There is no way in which the people, the customers, can be treated the way they are being treated. by that person. But apart from that, Honourable Mashaba raised the issue of the service level, the service level standard.
Yes.
The issue we shall ask is, do they have performance contracts with people?
Mm-hmm.
Because if a person does not have a performance contract, he or she can do what is alleged being done.
Mm-hmm.
And this issue, Chair, affects us also internationally, because some of the clients of these are international companies.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that when we were in France,
yes,
in the interparliamentary meeting with the EU, the Trade Commissioner raised it very sharply,
yes,
the issue of a turnaround times when issues are processed with the NRCS. They raised it very sharply. I think that as a country, if we want to trade with other people, and then we cannot be seen to be slacking the way it is done. It was very tough, but although I didn't get the whole gist of the presentation, but the issues I know.
Yeah.
You know, when I confronted far away from home about your inadequate systems back at home, it's really embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it must be dealt with. That person cannot be left at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think something must be done around that. Thank you.
There are six critical issues and others that relate to them. They must be responded to. Thank you. DG, do you want to come
in
here?
Thank
you.
I'll come in first, and then Edward will give the detail. Honourable Chair, let's say that one of the critical issues raised is about the ICT system, which I think, as we know, is critical to us solving this the efficiency problem. And as I said, we will, and Edward will give a response now, but he has reported the matter to us about the delay. And we, as I said, we will work with him to recruit expeditiously a IT professional to oversee this process. So, and I think we will, I think in terms of Honourable McPherson, bring forward the timelines and so on. Now, in terms of our overall response, I think, as you know, with this agencies, all our agencies, is that leadership matters and the quality of the management team is key to everything, because systems don't implement themselves. So, as you know, with regards to when we initially came to this committee, it was the question of the letters of authority. And in terms of the standard, we do have a standard. The standard there is 120 days. That has been agreed, and then there was, for honourable members, there was a backlog. And that is what the committee then brought to our attention, and that is why NRCS has been here a number of times. We have, as you know, we used to have a board, we also used to have CEOs. They did not perform, and that is why they have been removed. And now Edward has been seconded, but he's applied for the job. He's appointed from the 1st of March this year. He is the CEO now. So as I said, he has assisted so far when he was acting in the position. The backlog has been removed now. In terms, so that is the
5,000 odd.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've dealt with the question of the 120 days now, and the biggest issue was the backlog. So that the new management team has been working, and that part is resolved. But so the next one is, as you know, he needs now also a quality management team around him. And that is why, as I said, we did the recruitment of the IT professionals is key. As we know with you will be familiar with CIPC, as you know, from all their problems, they now register companies within 15 minutes at the CIPC. And that is why, and the reason is they put in a proper IT system and IT professionals, and we've asked CIPC now to work with NRCS. And they have been over there, and as I said, but we will solve that problem. Honourable Chair, I agree with Honourable McPherson that, and I think to the committee, we will definitely look at that matter about this unacceptable conduct. About we obviously have to maintain a professional public service standard, and in the way we communicate with clients and the public, and I think that we will deal with that issue. And as I said, we need to provide proper service and proper responses to frustrated We deal with that matter. Honourable Chair, this the question is, as I said, the critical role that NRCS plays is to ensure that we protect the consumer,
yeah,
and that we don't allow inferior products that can threaten the safety. So, and as you know, we've recently had the listeriosis outbreak, and we've also had the cougar vehicle. We've also had exploding cell phones issued. So the test of NRCS is to ensure that the public is not exposed to that. We're happy to report that on the food processing that we oversaw, NRCS oversees canned products and seafood. But we don't have compulsory control over the processed meat products. But as I can inform the committee now, the minister has just allocated to NRCS that we will be covering now also processed food products. That will be your bolognese and your poultry and those kind of products. It will also mean we have to provide massive resources now, because now we have to inspect not only, because in that plant in Polokwane, the enterprise plant, as you know, we only had inspections for the one side dealing with the canned products. We will now have to do all the factories where we do the testing of those products. We have then agreed to allocate additional resources for them. So to deal with Anul Mushlobo's point about resources, we are giving the necessary resources to the body, but it will be now that we expedite the appointment of the IT professionals to implement the system. But Edward can maybe just give a bit more detail on that.
Thank you, DG. Chair, I think on the issue of communication, I just want to emphasize again that it is unacceptable for our officials. We have picked up the issue of communication as one of the major challenges within the organization. I think every organization has a certain culture, and the culture that we found there is not at a level where a government should be performing. I've personally picked up the manner in which we communicate with our clients is very poor and unacceptable. And I have taken the matter with the GM Electrotech, specifically the matter that Honorable McPherson is referring to. I have asked the GM Electrotech, Mr. Kanyile, to address it, because it is indeed unacceptable. But I think the main issue is to try and change the culture of the organization to be at a level where it should be, and be able to service our client properly. I think you also touch on the issue of the scope, the VC scope. I think Kanyile will deal with that. All our VCs will define explicitly what it covers. But certain of our VCs are broad, especially in electrotechnical products, so that we are able to catch up with the developments. Because as you know, this area of electrotechnical is ever developing. There are new products produced every now and then. So we try to keep our VCs open enough so that we can deal with innovation in that spectrum. So I think specific to your question of batteries, Kanyile will deal with that. I think the main issue that all the members have raised is pertaining to the ICT modernization project. And I think one of the challenges that we have touched on and repeated by many members is what do we mean when we say there is no adequate capacity within the human resource, within our ICT environment. I think we have a small ICT department. We only have four or five permanent staff members within the ICT, and with the resignation of the CIO, it just compounded the problem even further, that we are not able to deal with a project of this magnitude. And when we came in, there was no ICT steering committee in place to advise the entity on ICT issues. Now we have fully efficient ICT steering committee, which is sitting and is able to advise us on the implementation of this project. One other issue was that today, when we made the commitment to deliver on the ICT modernization, we didn't even have an ICT strategy in place. And now we have approved, we are approving, because it has served on the steering committee last week. It has been recommended for me for approval, the ICT strategy, which will talk to the architecture, the integration of all these systems that we want to put in place. I think I have covered most of the questions. On the issue of testing, it's a subs issue. I don't want to deal with that. Maybe the DG will venture into it at a later stage. Honorable Masogo, we don't have a service provider as yet. So we are in the process of appointing a service provider by the end of June to assist us with the implementation. Thank you.
Just before the GM comes in.
One moment. Yes, is that the DG? Yes, go ahead.
No, I want to say in terms of the capacity, so we will be filling up the IT department. And then also, as you said, with inspectors, we will be taking on, we've given approval from the department for an increase of another 19 inspectors, which will be dealing with, as I said, the priority areas, which is mainly the now the food area, and then obviously electrotechnical. But we'll hand over to them.
No, thank you very much. Someone else is coming in. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, honourable members.
Yes. I just wanted to, I was just taking a little off track then. Honourable Mantashe had a question for the Chief Executive Officer, or a comment.
No, Chair, I heard the DG promising that he's going to surround the CEO with quality management. How soon can we expect that to happen so that she can get the assistance he needs? Do we have the budget to do it? How many are you going to recruit? Thank you.
If I can just come in there, we have already started the process of appointing a project manager. Similarly to the issue of CIO, we were not able to find a suitable person after undergoing the process of recruitment. So we are headhunting. I think what the DG is saying is that he will be assisting us with that headhunting process to ensure that we have a project manager to focus on this important project.
Right. We will come back to that later, but I think, is this Mr. Kanyili who is coming in, the General Manager, Electrotechnical?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I'll start with comments from Mr. Mayakese. Thanks for the comments. I think they are very important and welcome. I just want to confirm to the committee that the business unit gets quite a lot of work, and there's a lot of number of applications that we deal with. But it does not mean that when we show the number, all those applications are on backlog. Because in our definition of the backlog, those are applications that have been received and have not been attended to past 120 days. As you might have seen in one of the slides, on the backlog we have zero, and there's the age analysis of all the applications. So we do focus on the applications that are getting closer to the 120 to make sure that we don't exceed the 120. On the issue of the letter, indeed we are aware of the letter, and I think I was also copied on the email that went out to one of the applicants. And we did address the matter. Actually, even at the level of myself and the CEO, we had a discussion about it. And the matter was addressed to the evaluator, not only the evaluator concerned, but even the rest of the staff, for them to understand the importance of professionalism when they do deal with their work, even though sometimes it's frustrating with the pressure that they get, but we need to remain professional in the manner that we deal with our work. So together with the manager of the income, the employee, they've dealt with the issue to make sure that it does not happen again. I also went on to personally withdraw that statement to the applicant, indicating that, you know, such threats or such action would not take place because it's not in line with the policy of the organization. We're only aware of one case. Okay, I don't know if there is more cases. If there's more cases, then it means the efforts that we've put in place has not worked, then we need to deal with it if there's still more cases like this. Now, on the issue of VCs, well, unfortunately, the electrotechnical industry is a fast-moving industry, and the technology is every day there's new things that are coming, which would tends to fall within our scope. And when the VCs are developed, they tend to be broad so that they can accommodate all possible innovation that could come in. Now, there are things that would fall out of the scope, but what the process is to go through the industry, because the VCs are developed by committees which involve industries, standard writers, and ourselves. So if there is a concern like this and we receive it, we take it back to these committees who would then apply their minds and decide whether it should fall in or be out of the scope. So the issue of the batteries came and it was addressed with the industry. So since our interaction with the industry, we've never got any other concerns coming from them. But they've been informed that if they feel strong that it should be excluded, they need to make submissions, and then we'll set up the committees which would have to look at it. Because we need to also look at other things, the risk that is there, because we don't just decide. There's a lot of impact assessment that gets done which looks at the possible risk. So we are welcome to any looking at any submissions so that we see whether it should fall in the scope or out. The last point I want to address is on the issue of whether the report that we are giving today is the same that we gave in 3 months' time. I must say indeed it is, but this report is the progress of what we reported 3 months ago. If you recall, I think the issue that was raised by the Honourable Member, issues of labs, the risk base, and the staff issues. What we're reporting today is the progress that we have made. All those issues were on the slide, I think it was slide number 10 last time, where we said, way forward, these are the things that we planned to do. Now what we're reporting today is the progress that we have made. As you can see there, we talk about the CB scheme, and those are the labs that we are recognizing. At the time we said we want to do it, now we say we have done it. Yeah. So it is in that context that we report it. Thank you, Chair.
Right, I'm just looking there. The one thing that struck me in that response, the responses that were made, particularly in that unfortunate communication, was we know of one, and as you said, you're not aware of any others. The point is, you may have got so distressed you didn't communicate back. So I would like to make a suggestion. There is a record of all emails sent out from any organization, and I would request that you also check those. So you can send a timely apology before this surfaces in the House or somewhere, you know, or in the newspapers as well. So we are going to take the others. Honourable Mthlobo, Honourable Buyani had his hand up first, so let him go first, followed by yourself. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think there's one or two questions that I'm still waiting for a response. The question of skills development plan. Do they have a skill development plan? And how are they going to take it forward to assist in terms of the staff complement? And also the question of contract. They said they're using contract because there is no skill required in the department. Are we still using the contract in the department? And when are we investing to at least have people hired full-time by the entity?
That's it.
And we were told last that you are reviewing an HR policy. But now I'm not so sure in terms of the way forward as to did you review the HR policy? Are you able to meet your target? Because as you proposed to review, maybe there was a challenge. And are you able to deal with those challenges? The question of ICT, I think it needs to bring to rest because it's about since 2014, this ICT thing. I think the department must really focus on the issue of ICT because we know we're on the fourth industrial revolution. So if we're still failing to have ICT, we'll have backlog. And it's a serious challenge, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. Honourable Mthlobo.
No, thanks, Chair. My name is not a question, it's a suggestion. On technicality of the presentation from the DG and CEO, can we try that in future so that we don't have a problem? Always let's do, if you have appeared here before, make reference on the key issues we've raised and how far have we moved. It becomes much easier so that people can see whether they can be able to have a sense of a measurement, of a movement. Mm-hmm. For an example, when DG were presenting, key milestones have been achieved. Mm-hmm. One milestone is to try to stabilize the toll, which is a very important milestone in terms of our oversight work. A CEO has been appointed. It's a very important work. The stabilization process is not complete. What are the timelines? One of the stabilization key issues is the appointment of a CIO. Then what are we talking about? It's more about technical way how you present it. Secondly, it will be the question that the department and ourselves will have a particular role we play because we oversee the work. Can we have a sense of a program of action on the key issues? So that at least we know what are the key issues, what are the timelines are we looking at, so that we can measure that there is a movement. One of them is the migration into a digital system. Well, now we have a sense that there is a first step of getting a service provider in June. And if we can have that particular kind of a roadmap, what are we looking at? So that at least we can all be able to keep each other in check. At least we have a sense that, you know what, this system would be fully operational by this time, but it would be at this particular stage. So it doesn't become a sore point. Then there will be the other issues. Then there is an issue that the CEO we are raising. The issues around organizational culture and capacity. you see the issue around culture, it will include your service delivery standard. It has been 120 days for some time. How has been our performance? Were there times where we surpassed the standard? What did we do? Can't the 120 come down? If you look in terms of both capacity and efficiency, looking at the people that depend on you to protect them, the consumer, and the evolving in the technology here, when is it coming down to 100 days, to 90 days, to at least probably 60 days? These are the things that probably DG, I will suggest. But generally, let's be able to say at least there is progress that we are noting. There is a frustration that is also being experienced. But the DG is also saying that he's committing some resources to help them in capacity. Probably the DG will just have to firm up what trends and trends are we looking at, what kind of capacity in terms of technical expertise in which areas. But it doesn't have to come up now. So at least when they come back the next time, Comrade Chair, in a degree and a measured way to say we're content, that at least they are moving from one point to the next point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Maslobo, Honourable MacPherson.
Thank you. I just want to pick up on something that the Honourable Maslobo said, that, I mean, he's absolutely right that if we are making progress, the lead times for processing applications should shorten, specifically under the risk-based approach. I mean, that's the whole point of it, is that low-risk products from low-risk customers that have a track record with the NRCS, that are bringing in products from low-risk factories that meet test requirements, don't need to go through the rigorous process, notwithstanding the fact that the NRCS can only inspect 1% of everything that's imported into South Africa. But let's not forget that the NRCS's time actually used to be 21 days. That's how long it used to take to be able to process an LOA application. It then was taken to 120 business days, which was effectively 6 months. And then after immense pressure, it was then reduced to 120 calendar days. So, I mean, this thing has gone from 21 days to 6 months, and now back to 3 months. So I would hope that, I mean, the sole aim should be to reduce the times, to take the pressure off of the NRCS, and to let business do business, generate income for the country, which is then used for service delivery. But Chair, I think that we need to get back to a space where this committee had originally agreed in December of 2016. We had actually called for a meeting, remember, at the Townhouse Conference Centre with the NRCS, because we wanted to be appraised every quarter of the implementation of this process. Now, that has happened on and off, and it was an agreement that this committee had reached that we were going to be actively involved in ensuring that this ICT process rolls out. And I think that one of the reasons why, personally speaking, is that the committee has taken its foot somewhat off the accelerator to ensure that the correct oversight is placed on this entity and to ensure that the process unfolds as it should be. So I will make that request again, Chairperson, to you, that we do play our oversight role, that we do get these reports quarterly from the NRCS, specifically on this matter, on backlogs, on ICT rollout, so we can, take ownership, or not take ownership, but assist them in realizing, their goal to achieve this, because if we don't have oversight, we can't make the interventions where necessary.
Yes, I do just want to caution, though, we're not going to get involved, as it were, directly. That is not our role. But rather, in exercising this oversight to alert the DG and the CEO that we do not believe everything is on track in whichever area it is. Now, there is something still outstanding. You have referred a lot to the ICT and how someone with a strategic capacity will be employed to do that. But having been employed to do that, it doesn't mean that the equipment will be changed. One can bring in someone. And what worried me here was the points made on page 15 or slide 15, because those issues have come up before. And one was led to believe that this was then being addressed prior to you acting even, Mr. Madimisa. So I'm now concerned to see the same old Oracle issue raised again, because it's been raised before. And then what we were told at this point, which also links to the 120 days, is that there are certain areas, such as the electrotechnical, which will take longer in processing of the application. And there are other areas which will take a shorter process. And we were made aware of all the challenges in the electrotechnical area. So you may wish to do two or three things when you, perhaps not even necessarily return, but to send us a report when you unpack the issue of the 120 days, etc., point out the areas where there are challenges and the reasons for those challenges per se. And then if you will indicate, because my understanding of purchasing these systems, it's astronomical. And so we're not talking about petty cash here. What can be done in terms of the hardware and the software that isn't going to cost a fortune, because there isn't that much money available? Yes. So you've heard what Honourable MacPherson has also said, and I think the committee would agree that apart from the quarterly, we do get quarterly reports, they are available to us, but what we may wish to ask for in these quarterly reports is more information on what we've requested, because we don't want to sort of give you an extra reporting work, as it were, but this is a report. Inside that report, this, we also want X and Y and Z. So we want that on a quarterly basis. But it doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't get a response to the issues we've raised here within a month or so. We return on the 31st, and if we could have got that in terms of staff work, 2 weeks beforehand at least, the staff will process it for dissemination to members. That would be very helpful, DG and also CEO.
Thanks. I think it's clear the guidance from the committee and the members. So what we will do, as I said, the word is to, we will develop a clear roadmap then. And as you said, we will be prioritizing the following three areas, which is one is the employment of the CIO and the implementation of the ICT modernization system. That will be our first priority. The second area is that we will be, as I said, we will be prioritizing the electrotechnical area and the food processing area, and we will give you the plan for the skills plan, and as I said, we will be appointing additional inspectors. So far, we've already agreed for 19. For the food area, we'll have to look at the electrotechnical area. We'll give you that plan, the roadmap for those three areas, and then we will come back to, I think correctly, to Arnold McPherson's point is, we did set those standards of the 120 days, as I said, and maybe we can then, once we're clear on this roadmap, we can then look at that area, and as you know, for low-risk areas, we can then see how what improvements can be made in terms of the turnaround times there. And as I said, there will obviously be some areas where we will form the committee, but as you know, the world market, because of the closing of the American market and there's a global glut of cheap imports threatening us from, as I said, second-hand tires and
to electrotechnical products, to food that's being dumped. And of course, there are certain products where we will, once we have a strong system in place, as I said, once we show we've got a strong system in place, then we can then look at the what's the appropriate turnaround times for different product sets. And maybe we can start making some improvements in some categories of goods.
Thank you, DG. Just a final word from the committee.
Comrade DG, don't leave the question on how to actually reduce the turnaround times. It's a fundamental issue. Probably, I don't know how far back a chair it dates. The question that there was a time when the turnaround time was very low, and now is very high. But just put it, it might not be implemented now, but there has to be a start. Yeah, please, as part of that roadmap. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, DG, and also thank you to the CEO, because we noticed you took up the point raised by the committee of your inspectors that their training should include more electrical, etc., and you've said that it's now geysers and energy safety, which was a critical factor before. So outline those points as requested. And this particular item is now concluded on the agenda, and we thank all those who came here today to participate in it from the department. Members, our own work is not quite finished, as you can see from the agenda. And you know how the committee is committed to this agenda once it's adopted.
There is something called Compassionate Act. I was going to propose, without undermining the work of the committee, that the DG is here and the other people that were coming, which is a shorter met. If, with the indulgence of our honourable colleagues, I was speaking to my chief whip here. That's probably so that we can be compassionate to the DG. We exhaust him and then and give him a leave of absence.
No, he knows. I said it's only the committee. We have completed with this agenda item, but I do know, I said this agenda item. I am aware that the DG is here for a longer sojourn, because there are other matters he is seized with. But I just indicate at this point, we're just going to deal in terms of the distribution, etc., on the study visit to the UK debt. Department is welcome to remain or leave, and then we will return at 2 o'clock. Yes. All right. But members, you've had this distributed hot off the press. And what we want to do is to adopt this tomorrow. So I ask you, especially the members who are on the study visit itself, to please study the report. And after this, it is our, process here in Parliament, after acknowledgement, to make recommendations. And we have already, earlier on, made key observations. Now, you must remember, the committee is on the study visit with us, the portfolio committee secretary, one of them, plus, in this case, the content specialist. And they have worked from our discussions that we had there. Now, it may be that they've not captured it correctly. You know, they're human. So you are asked, those who were there, to study it. And in particular, tomorrow, to say, right, this has not been covered. It was absolutely critical. And so on. And the other area is on the recommendations. We do not want more than 3. But of course, if there are more, there are more. Please submit this electronically to Mr. Hermans. And I'm using this word all the time now, because we have been advised that paper, that we want to cut down on paper here. So in terms of the observations, please either correct or add to it. And anything else that you believe, you know what? Because tomorrow we're not going line for line. We want you to raise your hand. There's something here. And that is it, is the purpose. We all knew what we were going and embarking on. But what is useful to us members is, in particular, you know the purpose. We've got an act. Is there anything here on that trip that we learned which could be of value to the bill? That, in a nutshell, that is the reason why we went there. We're not putting forward the Fourth Industrial Revolution today, but I understand a draft will be ready tomorrow, that is Thursday, for distribution. We will only tackle that on our return. I hope that's clear. The other thing is, I said to the whip in passing here, I didn't want us to have to come back again, you know, for one day before the 31st. But if we have to, and there are outstanding issues on the bills that are going to slow down the process, we may have to. So I would like us to really apply our minds to those bills, as we, you know, the debt in particular. And I'm going to ask whoever the secretary is who dealt with, say, debt and the CAB, the copyright, please give us for tomorrow one sheet. This is where we are. This is what remains to be done or dealt with. Can we please have that one on each? Just one page. All right. On that basis, there is lunch in Mark's building, because I haven't got that here. Well, I don't know, because the way things happen in this committee about venues, is it V8 at 12:30? That's what I've been given. 12:30, V8 is next to the dining room in the old assembly chamber. Please try to return here. I think it's before 2, is it? Yes, that's right. Please return at 1:45. Thank you. Meeting adjourned until 1:45.
Sure.